From Revenue Rhino, I'm Brad Hammond, and this is the Lifelong Customer Podcast. Welcome to the Lifelong Customer Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Hammond, and today I have Larry from EasyOps. Larry, it's really nice to have you on.
Hey, it's great to be here, Brad. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm really excited for today's discussion. So, Larry, tell me a bit about yourself, who you are, as well as your company, what you guys do.
Sure. I'm a marketing guy. That pretty much encapsulates everything. But my current position is head of marketing at EasyOps. And EasyOps, we're a financial technology company, and we use automated workflows to address the data quality issues in financial services industry. So the platform uses, we streamline very complex processes like data validation and data reconciliation and reporting using AI and machine learning. So basically, workflow automation involves automating these repetitive manual tasks and processes using software and algorithms. Companies can really reduce their errors by eliminating the need for human intervention and manual processes in these routine activities. In financial services, there are tens of or more, hundreds of thousands of transactions that are processed daily, and workflow automation plays a key role in enhancing productivity and mitigating, you know, the risk. We all know manual processes are prone to errors, right? So workflow automation makes it faster, more accurate by automating data entry, document processing, and reconciliation. Really, the bottom line, we liberate the operations team from the manual grind of their repetitive tasks, which lead to bad data, so they can focus then on their own customer success, their own customer service, and driving their own revenue and growth.
That's awesome. I love it. So what's your story? Like, how did you get into all this and marketing and that whole story?
So I got into marketing almost by accident. I don't think I'm alone in this, but when I was graduating college, I really had no idea what I wanted to do next. And I was just interviewing at various companies, and I interviewed at an insurance company, and they had this management training program, and it sounded interesting. It tried different departments at different times. And I started in their corporate communications department for a year, and I thought it was really interesting. And then they put me in marketing for a year, and I realized, hey, I like these things. I want to do this. So I decided to go on and, you know, get my MBA in marketing. And in the years that followed, I worked almost exclusively in financial services. I worked for banks and brokerage firms and fintech companies, everything from dot-coms and startups to multi-billion dollar global organizations. I even had my own marketing firm for a little while, for a number of years. I had my own marketing consulting firm. And again, I don't know why this seems to happen, but it was by accident. I started a new job as a director of marketing for a very small financial software firm. And within 2, maybe 3 months, I realized I made a mistake. And I panicked a little bit, like, oh, what do you do? I want to leave. This isn't for me. And then I realized they didn't need a full-time marketing person. They needed some marketing help. And then that was it. They were not big enough for a full-time marketing team. And that made me think that, you know what? There's probably a lot of small firms out there that need marketing help, but don't need to staff up. That's when I started my marketing firm. And then I just went on and pretty successful for a number of years before I jumped back into the corporate world.
I love it. That's awesome. So let's talk about marketing. So you've had this experience to work with a lot of companies and specifically help with their marketing. And now you're growing things where you're at. What's your process? What are things that you're thinking about when you step in somewhere? And like, where do you start? What do you do? All that stuff.
Yeah. Now, that's a great question. Don't underestimate the power of listening. I'm a talker and I'm a doer. And it's easy to jump in and think, well, I did something like this in my last job or last year or 3 years ago. I could just do it here. Without fully appreciating what the here really is, you know, what are the challenges? Every company has challenges, but they're not all the same, even if they're in the same industry. It took me a while, I admit that, to actually perfect the art of listening. And we all say, of course, we want to listen to our customers, and that's obviously critical and something all marketers need to do, but it's also internal, right? You have your own supervisors, you have management, it could be founders, it could be executive leadership. The sales, marketing and sales go hand in hand. I have the sales leaders, the salespeople that I talk to. What about the product people? They're critical because product people will tell you one story. Sales, let's just say they may put a little bit of a rosier outlook on what can and can't be done. But talking to sales, talking to customer support, all of those areas, which traditionally was not part of the marketing scope, right? When you come into marketing, you don't think, hey, let me talk to engineering and client support and hear what they're saying. But all of that helps me define a picture and helps me understand, see what the landscape is and then develop a plan.
I love it. So let's talk about marketing specifically today. Yeah. What are some top of mind things you think every company should be thinking about doing? Other marketing leaders out there need to be hand on the pulse of this and all that.
Yeah, listen, things have changed. I think the number one thing people need to do today is to keep learning, right? There's always something new on the horizon. And trust me, and I'm glad this is a podcast and people can't see me, but when I first started back in the day, nobody was talking about SEO or pay-per-click or organic and paid social media marketing. It didn't exist, right? Everybody had to learn about it. So I think it's the same with AI, right? Artificial intelligence. Now, personally, I don't believe that it's the job-stealing monster that some people say it is. But it can be a useful tool for marketers, just like PowerPoint, right? That didn't always exist. You used to have to go out to get creative done before a pitch. And remember, before Excel, people use calculators, and yes, this does predate me, but pen and paper too. So now companies like EasyOps, right? We consider Excel to be a manual process. So we're using AI and machine learning to automate the tasks that takes days to now just take hours. So the primary objective of marketing hasn't changed, right? We all want to boost brand awareness and expand our market reach and generate leads and increase sales. That was true before the internet. And it'll be true through AI and whatever the next best thing is down the road. But the tactics we use to meet those objectives may change over time. Hence the continued focus on learning, right? The overall objective of what we as marketers want to accomplish, that really hasn't changed. But we just need to keep learning and adapting to and using the new tools that are out there for us.
Absolutely. I'm really curious, how do you tend to learn? Do you like read books or listen to things, or is it just your own experimentation and trying new stuff?
Yeah, obviously podcasts has to be the top of the list, of course. You know, that really goes without saying. But, you know, joking aside, a lot of people are out there talking about what they can do. And if you find a company or even a product that you admire, I can almost guarantee you that somebody either wrote about it, spoke about it, or there's something online about it. So you can learn from seeing whether it's the people or the companies that you admire, you can find out more. And then there's so many free courses out there, whether it's on LinkedIn, even if you just want to get better at PowerPoint or Excel or any kind of database or SEO, learning about Google Ads, any of those things, there are tools that can help you do it. I personally don't have any one. I know people that commute and they like to listen to podcasts on the way in. Other people are driving, so they do different things or they're doing something else. But there's a wealth of information out there. I think it's just, and it can be overwhelming, to be quite honest. I like to read books too. So I try to read some leadership books. Whatever works for you, I would say go for it. There's no one way, I think.
Absolutely. Any advice you have for other marketing leaders out there listening today?
Yeah, so I think for advice, you know, what I would do, I would tell people it's okay to make mistakes. Now, of course, in marketing, we don't call them mistakes. We call it A-B testing. But years ago, it really wasn't accepted for leaders to tell their employees that mistakes are part of the process. It certainly was never encouraged. But you really can learn from your mistakes. And the message was usually, hey, don't make any mistakes. It didn't really encourage a lot of innovation. I lucked out. I had a very good mentor years ago who allowed me, actually encouraged me to try new things, right? To find out what is working better. And more important, I wasn't penalized if something didn't work out. And that was a fear I had. And I'm sure a lot of people have that, okay? Along these same lines about making mistakes, it's okay to admit and say, you don't have all the answers. There's a famous quote by a guy named John Wanamaker. And he was one of the most successful department store, one of the first and most successful department store owners in the United States. He said, half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. The trouble is, I don't know which half. So I think that still applies today, right? If us marketers knew exactly what message the customers needed to hear, and we knew exactly when they needed to hear it, and how they needed to hear it or see it, our job would be so much easier. But that's obviously not the case. So don't be afraid to try new things, and you might make a mistake. It's okay.
I love it. Is there one thing you wish you would have known, like when you're younger or earlier on in your career that you know today?
I think I would have liked to believe in myself a little bit more, right? We're going to have challenges. It could be something related to your job. It could be a company where you work, a boss or a colleague you don't get along with, or just something personal that can really impact your life, your career, your health, general being. People go through that. It's okay. And you can get through it. Now, I'm not minimizing some of the struggles that people have, right? They can be intense and they can be very impactful. But I think it helps if we all find a support network. So people, whether it's friends, family, work colleagues that you trust, and these people can help you overcome the challenges during the tough times. That can be invaluable. Also, and I think this is the most important, you got to believe in yourself. It's difficult to have others believe in you if you don't believe in yourself first. Okay, now listen, let's not forget, Michael Jordan didn't make his high school basketball team in sophomore year. Okay, Bill Gates, his first business, everyone knows Microsoft, his first business was a complete failure. And if you're a reader, like Stephen King, his one of the, you know, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of books he wrote and he published, his first novel was rejected 30 times. So you don't have to be famous to have failed, okay? And you certainly don't have to be famous to believe in yourself and succeed. So I wish I'd taken this advice to heart when I first started out, but believe, really, it takes work, but to believe in yourself.
I love it. Well, on that note, any remaining words of wisdom before we wrap up the episode here today?
Sure. Yeah, so the only thing I think I would point out is that when it goes on with everything I was talking about learning, we're all familiar with the four P's of marketing, right? Product, price, place, and promotion. Those four P's are classic. They've been around a very long time. But in today's rapidly changing environment, with new tools constantly being introduced to the marketplace, I think we need to add another four P's to the marketing mix. I just call them plan, produce, pivot, and performance. So for plan, develop a marketing plan and strategy based on your own goals, right? Your company's, your department's goals. Produce, that just means create and produce the materials you need to execute the plan you're putting in place. Pivot, constantly evaluate and reevaluate the results on whatever metrics you think are appropriate for there. Don't be afraid to pivot away from something that's not working. And finally, performance. Perform a complete review of the campaign, the goals and overall performance. Did you meet your objectives? What worked? What didn't work? And then implement those lessons in the next campaign. So in other words, once you discover what's working for you, rinse and repeat as long as you can.
I love it. Larry, it's been amazing to have you on. Thanks so much for sharing all your wisdom and insights here today.
Thank you, Brad. It's a pleasure being part of this podcast. Thank you.
Absolutely.